Welcome back, everyone, to the Daily Fantasy Football Report. This is your host, Manny P. Follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez, DFFR. And this is the Week 4 forecast. Starting off at QBs, I'm back on my boy, Matthew Stafford. I've been high on him all year. His price is starting to go up, especially with the buys now approaching us with Week 4. So, Matthew Stafford had a big week last week. He is averaging 26 fantasy points in his first three starts. I expect this streak to continue against the Bears. We saw what the Dallas Cowboys did and just dominate the Bears with missing so many defensive players. And he scored 18 fantasy points in four of his five contests against the NFC North opponents. And with the day he had last week with 385 yards, three touchdowns, and only one interception, he's been throwing the ball a ton this season. He's on pace for 640 pass attempts, which would be his most since 2012. I love the matchup. Give me some of Matthew Stafford this week. Another guy that I'm high on is Philip Rivers. Last week, he threw for 333 yards in the loss to the Colts, but the only downside was he just didn't have any touchdowns. But that shouldn't be the case against the Saints. We saw what the Falcons did to them. Saints still have one of the worst passing defense and defenses in general. They've averaged more than 18 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks. This should be a shootout, so give me Philip Rivers. The sleeper who maybe not be the biggest sleeper out there, but still a sleeper, is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, even though with all the bad talk on him, he had a good game against the Giants. So this is his second straight game with 18 fantasy points. Now he's got the Cleveland Browns, who've surrendered on average more than 18 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks, which includes seven touchdowns. The Cleveland Browns are just awful, averaging 300 yards, passing yards, two touchdowns, and one interception per game so far this season. Give me Kirk Cousins. If I think quarterback's going to repeat this week, it's going to be Trevor Siemian. Tampa Bay has allowed at least two passing touchdowns in a game. If I'm going for a rebound performance, it's going to have to be Carson Palmer, who threw four interceptions against the Bills. I expect him to rebound at home against the Rams. He scored 18 fantasy points in seven of his last 11 home games, which includes four 20-plus point performances. The Rams have also allowed over 25 points to Jameis Winston last week. Back at Arizona, look for Carson Palmer to rebound. The quarterbacks I'm staying away from, and for obvious reasons, one is Eli Manning going against Minnesota, who might be the second best defense in the league behind Denver. Cam Newton just struggled all day. Even though he had 13 points, it was a struggle for him. I'm sitting Eli. I'm also sitting Matt Ryan. Even though he had a huge matchup against the Saints, this week going against Carolina is not too much of a favorable one. Their defense has allowed, on average, fewer than 14 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks. And Matt Ryan doesn't have the best track record against Carolina, averaging fewer than 13 points in his last three home games against the Panthers. I'm staying away from Jameis Winston, who also had a good game last week, but going against the Broncos, best passing defense in the league, allowed fewer than 14 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, and neither Luck nor Dalton were able to muster more than 11 points. I'm staying away from Winston. Another one I'm staying away from is Derek Carr. Carr came back to earth a little bit last week with a mediocre game against the Titans. Now he's up on the, in the road against the Ravens, who've surrendered an average of 276 passing yards with a combined 12 touchdowns and 8 interceptions to opposing quarterbacks. Watching Baltimore's games, they're just not pretty. You know, watch them against Jacksonville, watch them last week. It's just, it's always kind of low scoring-ish games and just uneventful, unexciting. I'm staying away. And obviously, I'm staying away from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who probably had the worst week of all time for DFS. Pro Football Focus rated Ryan Fitzpatrick as the worst quarterback last week with 6 interceptions. Going against the Seahawks, still have a good secondary, surrendering the 3rd fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. I'm staying away from Fitzpatrick. Moving on to running backs, I'm back and high on Melvin Gordon. Even though he didn't have the best game going against the Colts last week, going against the Saints, we saw what Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman did. So essentially, he's a must start. The Saints have given up an average of more than 33 fantasy points a game to running backs. Once again, an average of more than 33 fantasy points a game to running backs. Obviously, we know there's no Woodhead. Look for another big-time stat line for Melvin Gordon. A rebound candidate, C.J. Anderson. Cincinnati did a nice thing, or tried to do. Their game plan last week was, let's load up 8 to 9 in the box, and let's have Trevor Siemian beat them, which he did. So now that the league knows that Trevor Siemian can handle the blitz, he can handle being on the road, the Bucs might have to be a little bit more honest this week. So if they do, look for C.J. Anderson to bounce back against a favorable matchup. Mr. Jekyll and Carlos Hyde. Ultimate boom or bust was last year. Seems that way this year. Granted, he did pick up a lot of garbage time points against the Seahawks, but that told me that the 49ers are committed to running the football, whether they're up big, whether they're down big. Any questions have been answered there. And in a week where there's not too many favorable matchups, he's got a pretty good one against Dallas. He's had Carlos Hyde has had 2 really strong games out of the 3. Good week 1, bad week 2, good week 3. Like I said, in a favorable matchup this week against Dallas, this is probably his easiest running opponent. So far, he's had the Rams, Carolina, and Seahawks. So he had a nice game 2 out of 3 of them. And they didn't look too great against Matt Jones in week 2. So give me some Mr. Jekyll and Carlos Hyde this week. Another running back, if I think, is going to repeat, it's probably going to be LeGarrette Blount. Which was interesting here is you knew Jacoby Brissett was going to start that game, hence a heavy run workload, and the Texans couldn't stop him, even though you knew he was going to get a heavy workload. This week, with it still being up in the air between Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, going against the Bills this week, who have surrendered on average more than 21 fantasy points per game to running backs. The Bills in their last 2 games have given up 210 yards and 5 touchdowns. I expect Blount to get another heavy workload depending on if Jacoby Brissett starts. But even if Jimmy Garoppolo starts, it's not a bad play. The only thing I worry about is maybe a high ownership percentage. But if I had to choose a sleeper this week, I'm going with Jordan Howard. Jeremy Langford is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Going against the Lions, who may be without linebacker DeAndre Levy with a quad injury. Ezekiel Ansah has already been is already out, which makes the defense very vulnerable. We saw when Lacy had a good start, 103 yards. Howard will have his chance for a good game. And being the Bears' new starter, they're short on running backs. This is Detroit's second consecutive road game. Howard played well last week when he had a step in for Langford. He looked definitely the more explosive and elusive back, and also a pass-catching running back. So he'll get the majority of the touches. He could be put in the slot as well. Look to Jordan Howard as a possible sleeper. Moving on to wide receivers, another guy high all season, Marvin Jones Jr., went off for 205 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Packers. He's had a great start to the seasons with the Lions. I've mentioned before that he was underutilized in Cincinnati, where he excels in short to intermediate routes over the middle. He's clearly has shown he's the number one receiver for there, and against this Chicago Bear defense, which is questionable at best, Marvin Jones is a must start. Another guy to start, T.Y. Hilton. He went off against quarterback Jason Verrett, who's been touted as a young shutdown corner, put up 174 yards and 1 touchdowns. He should continue against the Jaguars, which he's absolutely owned. He's averaged 111 yards in his last 5 games against the Jaguars. I don't see why it should stop anytime soon. Give me some of T.Y. Hilton. Also, a guy I was big on last week was mediocre at best, Larry Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald and the Cardinals all struggled, mostly because of Palmer. Like I said before, I think Palmer rebounds here, and if he rebounds, look for Larry Fitzgerald to get back on track, going against the Rams defense that have allowed 10 catches, 132 yards to Mike Evans last week. Look for Fitzgerald to rebound. A pair of teammates I gave last week, a pair of teammates I'll give this week, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. The Buccaneers pass defense have given up the second most fantasy points to wideouts and have allowed already 7 touchdowns in 3 weeks. Emmanuel Sanders had a big time, big game last week. So look for Sanders and Thomas to produce as well against the Bucs. Trevor Siemian showed last week that he could play at a high level on the road, and he put Sanders and Thomas in position to make plays. Sanders had 13 targets, 9 catches for 117 yards and 2 touchdowns. Thomas had 7 targets for 6 catches, 100 yards and a touchdown. Bucks allowing the third most fantasy points to opposing receivers. Give me some Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas this week. Another guy that is almost a flash from the past, DeSean Jackson. Jackson so far is having a good season, scoring 10 fantasy points in his first 3 games. He's in a good spot to continue against the Browns, who have allowed 6 touchdowns and the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. Jamison Crowder might also be a nice sleeper in this matchup, but Joe Hayden, questionable right now with a groin injury, uncertain to play. If he doesn't, I do like some DeSean Jackson this week. Wide receivers, I'm sitting Julian Edelman just because the Jimmy Garoppolo with the shoulder, Jacoby Brissett with the thumb. Until further notice, I'm going to have to stay away from Julian Edelman. Also, the pair of teammates I'm staying away from, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker. Brandon Marshall now with, you know, he had the knee and foot injury. Decker is a guy who just doesn't seem to be a playmaker on his own, who needs to rely on others to do well so it could free him up for one-on-one opportunities. Going against Richard Sherman, the Seattle defense, I'm staying away. And a guy I've liked so far all season, Sterling Shepard. He's ranked 13th in fantasy points right now and in receiving, higher than Odell Beckham Jr. But like I said, against the matchup against the Vikings, I'm just staying away. They've only allowed one touchdown and the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing wideouts. I'm staying away from Sterling Shepard. And don't buy into the Tavon Austin hype. If I said Carlos Hyde is the ultimate Jekyll and Hyde, Tavon Austin is literally the biggest boom or bust player because of the lack of consistency going against Patrick Peterson and the Cardinals. He's only scored more than 6.5 fantasy points just once in his career against the Cardinals. I don't trust Tavon Austin, so I'm staying away from him. Tight ends, always a crapshoot this year. Have to definitely get lucky. So instead of telling you who to pick per se, I'm just going to plead out cases for certain guys. So let's start off with Zach Miller. Zach Miller was definitely heavily targeted by Brian Hoyer. And the Bears had a really good week against the Cowboys, led all tight ends with 2 touchdowns and a little over 19 fantasy points. If Hoyer's going to look for him, going against the Lions that have allowed more fantasy points to an opposing tight end than any other team in the NFL, that's a good one based off matchup. Kobe Fleener, watching that game against the Falcons, it seems that Drew Brees and the Saints want to feature Fleener and want him to get going in the offense. They targeted him a lot against the Falcons. He had 109 yards, 1 touchdown. Now he's 5th in targets at the position. He's been in 78% of the Saints' offensive snaps going against the Chargers. He should be another, should be very active in that game as well. Kyle Rudolph, did you know Greg Olsen is the lone player, lone tight end with more targets than Rudolph? Kyle Rudolph so far has been reborn with Sam Bradford, who's always liked the tight ends back in his days of Philadelphia with Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. The matchup isn't great against the Giants, who's definitely revamped. But, I mean, he's having a good season so far. So he's had 7 targets in his first 3 weeks. I like Kyle Rudolph in this matchup just for the pure target standpoint. Dennis Pitta, even though he only scored, he didn't have that many points against the Jaguars. He still is targeted 8 times, and he's seen 20 targets in the last 2 weeks. Going against the Raiders, who have been notoriously terrible against the tight end, he's another one on a pure target standpoint to go after. Eric Ebron, even though he just had the touchdown week 1, hasn't found the end zone since. He has been playing with an injury, but he's looking healthier, and he's played in 89% of Detroit's offensive snaps and is 7th in targets in all tight ends and 5th in yards for tight ends as well. Going against the Bears, that's purely a matchup standpoint. Jordan Reed, pretty much stardom 100% of the time. Even though this season he's only had 16 catches for 190 yards and 0 touchdowns, he still is a focal point of that Washington passing game. With Kirk Cousins turned it around last week, he has another favorable matchup this week against the Browns. he might be definitely worth a play. And then if I would choose a sleeper, it would be Hunter Henry, who stepped in the role to fill in for Antonio Gates, who didn't look too half bad, could be a sleeper this week. So that wraps up the NFL Week 4 forecast. Once again, follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez, DFFR. Peace.